Coming up on this episode of the Spiro Podcast.
I mean, real estate transactions are complex. They're emotional. There's so many moving parts to them. Sometimes it goes smoothly, but most of the time it doesn't. And you really need someone that's experienced in doing this every day professionally to guide you through one of the most important financial transactions in your life.
Welcome to the Spiro Podcast, managing your real estate photography and videography business. With your hosts, Todd Kivimacki and Craig Magler.
Hi, and welcome to the Spiro Podcast, managing your real estate photography and videography business. Spiro is a software platform designed to help you manage and grow your day-to-day real estate media business. I'm Craig Magram, host of the podcast. Welcome back. We had a week off last week, and Todd been gone a couple of weeks. He has gotten some much-needed R&R, and we are happy to say that Todd is back this week. So our co-host and Spiro owner and founder, Todd Kivimacki. Welcome back, Todd.
Thank you, Craig. I'm back with nothing better to say, but I am back. And yes, I had a little vacation there. And then my daughter had surgery, so everything went well with that. So I know many of you had messaged or emailed me. So thank you for that. That's just very heartwarming that you guys remembered it. But yeah, I'm excited to be back. And, you know, we've got a guest on the podcast today. Yeah. So very excited about that. A lot of things have happened really in about the last week, 2 weeks. So, you know, excited to be back with all of you today.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll introduce our guest in just a minute, but this is an Owner Spotlight Series episode because the whole idea of the Spiro Podcast is to talk about the business side of what we do as real estate photographers and videographers. And we like to hear from other companies, other business owners in their markets and learn from them, get their experiences as well. So we're really excited about our guest today in a major market in the state of Texas. So we'll introduce him in just a minute or two here. But Todd, before we dive into that, let's do a quick catch up on the Spiro software. What's new and what's coming?
Yeah. Thank you, Craig. So what's new? So I'm going to cover a couple different weeks. And this has been our push. We call them the quality of life updates. So many of you have given some things like, oh, I'd really be great if this button could do this or that could be there. So some of the biggies, Square got integrated. Now, this has been about a month back, but many of you wanted to use Square. That is in there now. You now have a beautiful calendar view. So many of you wanted to see how that would stack, your appointment stack, how drive time stack. That is all in there. That was a nice update. Prior to that was metrics. So if you're kind of just going, you're like, I don't know where I'm at, that metrics section is in there for you. I look at it every day for wow. It's kind of how I start off my day. It gives me a good idea of what we're doing, where we're heading towards. Mm-hmm. Are we trending up? What are we percent to goal, percent over or under last year? So metrics are in there. We're very excited about that. And then just some quality of life things like you can upload multiple floor plans now. You can charge per mile on a trip fee. We did a refresh to the invoices. You can put a memo on every invoice. You can put company information. For our international users, you needed to put your VAT number on there. So you can put that on there now. Also international users, if you have a different country code, so if you're outside the US, your agents were having to change the country code away from +1 to your country code. We do that automatically now based on your country code. So nice. Ton of really cool things in there and just some quality of life updates. We are working on translation services. So that is, again, for our international users. I know there's a big gap in the market out there. So for those of you, French, German, Spanish, you know, other languages, that is your native language. We are working on a translation service so your clients can view it in your native language. Also, quantity and variation. So you can do them in the system. You have to do them by adding another service. We'll build that all together. So that's in there. Some increased support for multiple time zones. So a lot of really cool things coming. And then after that, we're going to have a big push for some new exciting things. Can't really hint at them yet, but excited to get into them. Some of them will have to do with the merge fleet, which Craig, that's been launched. And it's exciting to see you all put videos through that merge fleet. So this was just something that, you know, we thought up of, wow, or, you know, after doing 9,000, 10,000 videos a year. We're like, there's got to be a consistent way to do this. And so we came up with some logic in the way that we shoot our videos, and then we send them into the cloud and they get edited automatically, no human editors. And now we've opened that up to you. You have a new menu item called Merge Fleet. You can click on it. Heck, you can throw video files at it and you can do a test merge for free. So you can use it all you want. I've created with Ryan, my head of training at WOW, a video training series. That's free as well. If you need any of it, email us, hello@spiro.media. But just some great resources. If you think about metrics and increasing your revenue, but not only revenue, but your average order value, that is something like, how can we get you to make more money, do the same or less shoots? Okay, that's increasing your average order value. And not only that, but how can we give your clients better marketing so that they can advertise their brand? So there's a ton that video brings into it. Heck, I named my company, it has the word video in it, WOW Video Tours. And, you know, video is super important. So excited about those. Craig, I completely obliterated the 1 minute. Did you have a clock on me for that?
I didn't. Okay. I figured it's been a couple of weeks. You probably have lots to share.
I think it was like a minute 15. So
sure. A minute 15. That's what it was. No. Awesome. Great updates. If you're not in the Spiro software yet, you can sign up for a free account. Just all you have to do is go to spiro.media and there's a sign up button and it doesn't cost you anything. The charge only starts once you put, you know, jobs through the system. So feel free to check it out. Some great how-to articles, a great knowledge base there. But yeah, we want to see your business grow and strengthen and just for you to enjoy the work that you do in real estate media. So, all right, that's enough for updates on Spiro. Todd, anything else you want to hit before we introduce our guest?
I actually do real quick because I love this, Craig. I love putting you on the spot. It's really the highlight of my week.
I bet it is.
And this is a good one, but I think this is very applicable to our listeners.
Okay.
So you were at an event last night, Craig.
Yes.
You know, and I think you've shared your introvert. That's an event. Like, holy cow, like I got to go out and see people. Can you just give a brief, like, what did you do? Why did we do it? Why were you there? And how did you approach it?
Yeah, so it's a local brokerage, actually the number one brokerage in the Northwest Ohio market, and they've done a fundraiser event for quite a few years now called the Treasure Chest event. And it's something back when I had my own business, something I got involved in as a sponsor, because it's for a good cause. They're doing they raise funds for the Children's Hospital and for various medical and psychological services to kids, to teens and kids. And it's something that I'm totally behind in supporting. And so we donated a media package, you know, photos, video, a vertical video for social media for their silent auction, because we wanted to be a part of helping raise those funds and obviously make the WOW Video Tour's name more known amongst the agents at this brokerage. So we make it a habit to try and support our local fundraisers and local brokerages because they give us a lot of business. We want to give back to them and help them achieve their goals as well. And just be a part of blessing our community, you know, through raising these funds. So we donated that package that was part of the silent auction. I haven't seen what it closed for. But I know the realtors at that brokerage always appreciate having something real estate related for their business that they can bid on and know that they're helping a good cause. And then I bought a ticket to attend the event and just, you know, thank people that I'm working with at that brokerage, you know, shake hands, catch up, just enjoy some social time and just make our presence known. And yeah, I'm an introvert and it is hard because I always feel weird when there's groups of people talking and I walk up.
Kind of like slide in. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it is a little awkward, but
yeah.
But you look for people you know and they're like, hey, and they bring you right in. So it was good. I've got a list of people I'm going to follow up this morning with just with a quick email. Hey, it was great to see you last night. And, you know, maybe bring up a couple of things that we talked about. It's just all about relationship building. So That was the event and how to work through it as an introvert. No, I did come home utterly exhausted and I was glad to now have my quiet, but it was fun.
Yeah. Worth your time, Craig?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. This whole business is relationship driven. You've got to build relationships with your realtors. If it's just a cold business transaction, you're not going to grow all that big. People buy from people they know, like, and trust, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I, for those of you out there that have donated or given a media bundle or put a basket together to give for an auction, that's great. You've done it. Now, if you're comfortable with that, put yourself one step further. Craig could have easily been like, yeah, we sent something. Our name was there. It sat on the table. You know, 12 people walked by it or even 100 people walked by it. But take the next step. It's your business. Go make sure your clients are happy. Mm-hmm. And see if you can connect with new people. It doesn't even have to be about business. Literally, the easiest thing right now is March Madness. Like, that's my lead in. Like, how's your bracket doing? Like, it, and sometimes it fails. Like, our guest today, I did that. I was like, hey, what's your racket doing? It's like, yeah, I don't even watch basketball. So I'm like, okay, well, that, you know, then you have to pivot, but that's okay. But just, it might not be that. You might not want to ask somebody about that, but ask something about that's current in the news, not like, not politics. We're getting to that season. Don't talk about politics. Talk about if they have kids, ask them how their kids are. Ask them how their dog is. I mean, they'll talk for days about it if you're an introvert. So push yourself a little bit further. You know, the gift basket is great, but if you really want to capitalize on that,
let's go to the event. Let's put it this way, Todd. We tell realtors, your face is your brand.
True.
It's the same with us. Our face is our brand. It's the relationship. It's getting out there and getting to know people. So yeah, don't hesitate. Yeah. Cool.
Well, thank you for letting me put you on the spot, Craig.
That was rather painless. No problem.
Well, next week, you just wait. I got a whole week to figure out what I'm going to do.
How can you top Post Malone?
What we're going to Photoshop on your face. Yeah. Right. That's...
All right. Well, let's dive into it. Are we ready? Are we ready, Todd? All right. Well, let's dive into it. As we said, this episode this week is our Owner Spotlight series. We've done a series of these throughout the age of the podcast, and it's because we love learning from others in this business, featuring businesses, small, large, you know, medium, and just getting their take on things in real estate marketing. And our guest this week is a Spiro podcast listener. You know, let us know, hey, appreciate the podcast. And he's experiencing some pretty cool things that I'm excited to hear more about.
For sure.
In a major market, a larger market than Lima, Ohio, where we're based out of, but I like to hear about big markets and just
The eclipse, Craig.
That's true. We do have the eclipse. It's basically going to be right over Lima, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. Anyway, our guest this week, I'm dragging this out way too long.
Yeah, I didn't help.
Ryan Stevens of Real Home Picks, based in the Dallas-Fort Worth market. Ryan, welcome to the Spiro podcast.
Hey, guys. I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you guys for having me.
No problem. That was a really long, painful introduction. I'm sorry I dragged that out so long.
It's all good.
Ryan, if you have any ideas of how I can put Craig on the spot and make it very uncomfortable for him next week, we'll just talk offline and then we can... Pay
you
him
got
back
it. I'll send
for
you
that
an
intro.
Email.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So, Todd, you keep doing this. You might have to find another host. I don't know. Okay. How much more can I take? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I love doing this. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Yeah. So, Ryan, tell us, you know, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. How'd you get into it? Why real estate photography? Just give us a little history of yourself and your business, if you can.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, I got to kind of rewind back to high school pretty much. Cause I was one of those kids that I was making good grades and was thinking about going to college, but really didn't want to go and was just looking for some alternatives. I came from my dad was an entrepreneur. He created a very successful business. He started the Dallas Comic Con, year I was born in 94. Yeah. So he grew that for about 20 years until the year I graduated in 2013, sold his business. And now I was doing all kinds of other things. So I was very fortunate to have the mindset that, you know, I saw my dad and he went to college and dropped out. So I was like, okay, there's a lot of different things you can do. So I started looking around, and real estate was one of those things where I could start taking real estate classes to become a realtor in high school. And then as soon as I graduated, get my license and start doing that. Okay. So that's what I did. Awesome. Junior year of high school, started taking real estate courses and turned 18, wow. graduated, got my license. So joined a local Ebbie Halliday real estate office right down the street from my house, and had a pretty decent first year considering I was 18 and didn't really know anybody that needed to buy a home. So it was all just, you know, friends and family and referrals from family members. So it was okay. It wasn't like, you know, I think going into it, I thought, okay, this is going to be this huge, you know, when you look at realtors on TV and stuff, you see these giant commission checks and how busy they are. And once I got into it and really realized what all I needed to do in like the day to day and stuff, I was like, okay, this is, I can do it, but it's not something that I love. And I decided, okay, the money's not coming in consistently. What else can I do on the side to kind of generate some income between commission checks? And had lunch with my dad, and he, we just kind of bounced around ideas, and we landed on him and my mom were building a their custom home, and the home builder actually was in need of someone to kind of run their social media and take photos of their spec homes and model homes. And I knew nothing about photography whatsoever at the time, but it was just something where I had already met the builder and had a pretty decent relationship with him. So I approached him and told him I could do this and that for him. And so that's kind of when the real estate photography stuff kicked off, is I kind of had to learn how to shoot these houses, and fortunately was able to start off with a pretty decent portfolio because I had access to all these beautiful custom homes mm-hmm. in the area that I could come in and out of whenever I wanted to shoot. Mm. So that's how it started, and really just kept shooting my own listings at the time. And then eventually I was approached by some agents in my office asking if I could go out and shoot their listings because they saw what I was doing. And that's when it kind of clicked, and I was like, oh, this is still when, you know, a lot of agents were still doing their own cell phone pictures. At least in our market, the professional photography hadn't really fully taken off yet. So I started doing that. That was in like 2019, actually, when I really started shooting for agents in my office. And then that was also the year that my wife and I got married. We got married in October 2019. And we both kind of saw, she wasn't happy at her job and wanted to do something else. And I was kind of realizing the potential of what, you know, this real estate photography business could be. Just based on the numbers I was getting just from agents in my office, you know, not even branching out or not really getting referrals to other agents in other offices. So we just decided to take a leap of faith. And in 2019, she quit her job. I decided I'd take a step back from being a real estate agent, and we just went all in on Real Home Picks. So, yeah, from there, I mean, right off the bat, once we delved straight into it, we grew really quickly, replaced both of our incomes completely, plus some in the first year. And we also did some interesting things that I think separated ourselves from a lot of the competition. And it wasn't really something that many people were thinking about doing. But coming from a real estate background, at the time in DFW, I mean, interest rates were crazy low. This is when homes were selling with like 40 offers in the same day that it's listed. So speed was key. As soon as realtors could get their pictures, they could get it online and start getting offers sight unseen a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So I knew that because I was an agent and realized the urgency of getting the pictures. So we did same day delivery on all of our photo shoots. So it was a grind, but we literally, I'd take the pictures. I would start editing them in the car, send the JPEGs off to my wife to finish them, and then deliver them to the client. And we've stuck with that with many changes along the way. It's very optimized now, but we still offer same day delivery on our photo shoots up to a certain time of day, usually around 4 or 5 p.m. Clients will still get their photos late that evening. So it's not as important now, but it's still something that's really useful to our agents. I mean, everyone wants things faster. You know, everyone loves Amazon same day delivery and all that. So it was something like, as we scaled, it was difficult to figure out how it was going to continue to work. But we figured it out, and I'm glad we did it. I'm glad it's something we didn't just give up on. because it is something I think pretty special about us. But yeah, since then we've, do you have a question?
Yeah. Let me ask you. So like individually when you're out shooting, Ryan, if you're doing the editing after, you know, immediately after shoot, how many shoots are you doing a day just yourself?
Yeah. So we don't do that anymore, but at the time, at the time when it was just me and my wife, we were probably doing 4 or 5 shoots a day. So for a solo photographer, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's almost maxing out like your time, maybe a couple extra shoots, as the days get longer, like this time of year, sun sets at like 8 PM now. So you could fit another shoot in there. So 5 or 6, but yeah, it was, and figuring out how to efficiently transfer the files and what type of files you need to be using. It was a lot of learning and trial and error. And, we went through so many iterations of how to edit our photos and, but we're still doing it today.
That's awesome. Now, gosh, I have so many questions about that. That's such an interesting idea. But why don't I pivot a little bit now as you grew, because I think this will maybe be more helpful for the listeners, and maybe we'll get into some of the nuts and bolts and some things that, you know, process wise. But so as you grew, you know, it's just not you and your wife now. You have a team. Can you tell us a little bit about your team? And then just, you know, what were one of the things that was maybe unexpected that, you know, like, oh, it's just not us now. Like, this is something that we have to slow down a little bit to create because we have a team, because we owe it to these people. But just what did a team mean to you? And did that, how did that change your business?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we decided to scale, kind of going back to how relational this business is, we were really scared about it because a lot of our client base knew me personally, either through real estate sales or direct referrals from, you know, other agents in my office and things like that. So that first hire was so important to us. And we've been extremely blessed with the people we've been able to hire and bring onto our team. We focused on, we didn't care about photography experience. We realized, you know, we can, just like me, I didn't know anything about photography when I started. We can teach the person how to be the photographer, but we wanted to hire the absolute best person in general. Someone that's going to treat our clients the way that I would, and, understood the importance of you know, how when they're at a photo shoot, they're not just representing my company, but they're also representing the agent and, you know, nurturing that relationship between their seller and making sure that the seller feels like that agent has hired the best vendors to take care of their home. So currently we have a team of 7 full-time photographers. We have my wife is still doing quality control, but we're hiring a virtual assistant to take that over. long overdue for that. We're in the process of hiring a new admin. We actually, Bree, my wife's cousin, was our admin for a while, and she had her baby, I think a year ago. So that became difficult to do admin work at home. So we're hiring an admin now. And our team of editors, we use eSoft. I think a lot of people are probably familiar with eSoft now. They're Vietnam based and they're the best editors I've ever encountered, extremely professional and just amazing to work with. And then just as we continue to scale, just kind of, I guess it's, I'm trying to think of something that we're struggling with now. Cause it's honestly been, I don't want to say it's been an easy process cause it hasn't, but because of the people that we've hired, they feel like they've made it easier for us, focusing on just getting the best people, teach them the technical things, teach them how to be a photographer. And I think that's, contributed to a lot of our success.
Nice. Let me ask just a point you in a direction that maybe might help. How do you build culture with your team? Cause I know that's something that took me a lot of years at WOW, and I'm still not great at it. And now as we build a team at Spiro, but how do you build, is that something that you focus on, or something that, you know, cause keeping everyone happy and keeping everyone engaged, is that something you think about, you know, the culture of your company?
It is now. I will say that's something we haven't focused enough on in the past, but we've realized as we get this larger team built, and there's all these different personalities, and, you know, some people, because we're so remote, no one comes to an office really. Everyone kind of has their gear with them. They go off on their day and come home and that's it. So we communicate a lot during the day, but there's never much face-to-face interaction. Connor, our most senior photographer, we actually just put him in charge of kind of doing like a monthly get together for the team. We'll go out somewhere, have some fun, just so we can at least have some kind of face-to-face interaction with each other. Cause that is something that we definitely haven't spent much time on so far.
That's smart. I like that idea. Yeah. Let me go rewind you a little bit. As you were just getting Real Home Picks started, what would you say was like your biggest hurdle or your biggest challenge that you had to overcome, or something you just hadn't thought about that all of a sudden was in your face and, hey, I got to figure this out to be able to grow? What was your biggest challenge and how did you overcome that?
So the biggest challenge, I think, was honestly, when we decided to scale, we realized we should have made this decision like a year ago because we were already so incredibly busy, and it's still this way today a little bit. We wait a little bit too long before we make that next hire, and everyone's just so busy, it makes it harder to give the new photographer quality training because you're just constantly hustling through photo shoots, and it's unless you get like that vacant house with nobody else there, it's really hard to give them the quality training that they actually need to make some progress. So that's been the biggest struggle, and it's gotten a little bit better. So Connor, again, our most senior photographer, he's also our trainer now. So whenever we hire a new photographer, they'll ride with him for around 3 to 4 weeks, actually, until they're fully trained and capable to do all the entire list of services that we offer. So that's really helped, but again, we're so busy that it's still hard for them to get the quality training that they need. And that's probably why it takes up to 4 weeks too. I wish we could really cut that down. I think just making those decisions to hire a little bit sooner would have helped us a lot.
Yeah, we find almost that same number, Ryan, at our company with training new photographers. Now you can get them out there and they can take media and they'll do a 70 to 80%, they'll get a 70 to 80% on it, so a CB work, but sometimes it's just getting in enough situations that they've seen it all, and then we always see like they kind of like shoot up quick and then they'll regress a little bit because I think they get in there and they're like, oh, I got it figured out, and then they kind of just go on autopilot. But they haven't done enough houses that autopilot's good enough yet. So, that's something, that's a metric that we look at as well of how we can do it, how we can do it more remote. But it does just takes time to master situations because there's so many things that a photographer's juggling potentially in the house that don't even have anything to do with actually clicking the camera.
Right. Absolutely.
Did your day-to-day change any from, or what does your day-to-day look like now? I know you were, when you and your wife started, you were hustling, it was probably, you were either taking a picture, talking to a realtor, editing a photo, or sleeping.
Right.
You probably ate in there at some point, but you probably ate when you edited. So I remember the days of literally falling asleep, my head on the desk, you wake up and you keep editing photos at 3 a.m. What does your day-to-day look like now?
So day-to-day currently, I'm still our video editor. So I've always been a morning person. I wake up at like 4 or 5 a.m. and that's kind of how I start my day. Knock out all the video edits. And I'm kind of the filler photographer. So if we have an extremely busy day and everyone's maxed out, I'll still go out and shoot. But for the most part, I'm here in the office. I'm basically the admin currently until that new admin that we hire takes over. And then I'll be able to finally take a step back and focus more on company growth and just driving growth. Because that's also something that we haven't done at all. We've never done any intentional marketing other than when we started. We gave away free shoots all the time. But all of our growth has been attributed to just referrals. We haven't done many brokerage presentations or really anything more than just waiting for the referrals to come in. And so I'm interested to see how things change when we're actually able to start doing some real marketing.
I was going to ask you about that, of what your growth strategy looked like. Do you have, you know, business development specialists or salespeople, or are you out there doing that? So in light of just basically referral business, which is the best, I think is the best mm-hmm. business, about how many listings a year are you guys doing in the Dallas-Fort Worth market?
Per year, oh man, why can't I remember this? I know we're doing around like 30 a day right now.
Dang, that's awesome. Yes. Good yeah. for you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, so whatever that is, I think it's 250 working days times 30. What's that? 7,500 listings.
Good for you guys.
Nice. That's exciting.
Very cool. And Todd, I'm kind of jealous. I'm guessing they don't have as much of a seasonal affecting their number of listings. Here in Ohio, it, you know, it slows way, way down, you know, December,
yes,
January,
sir.
February.
Yeah.
But we do feel it. It doesn't snow in Dallas.
Maybe once every couple of years. It's always kidding. A big event, and the city shuts down whenever anything touches the road that's cold. So
yeah,
but yeah, we do have a little bit of a slowdown. Like I think everybody has a little bit of a slowdown around the holidays. You know, November sure. hits, and then December, and things kind of come to a halt almost. But yeah, probably not as much with the snow that you guys have up there.
Yeah,
Todd, let me shift gears a little bit, because Ryan has a unique background that a lot of us don't in this industry, in that he's
right.
a realtor. Are you still a licensed realtor?
No, sir. I gave okay. that up about 2 years ago.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I was licensed for about 8 years.
Okay. So that kind of gives you some unique perspective as an owner of a real estate media company. Mm-hmm. There's two things I want to ask. We'll get to the more timely questions second, but first, as a realtor, what, based on your experience as a realtor, what knowledge of the industry were you to be able to bring to your real estate media company mm-hmm. that other companies maybe didn't know or didn't realize? Does that question make sense?
It does. Yeah. So I think from my background, I was able to go into the business skipping a lot of learning about like what a real estate agent expects from their vendors.
Okay.
And I knew how important it was for their vendors to be reliable and yeah. professional and treat their sellers right. And I think some people that might be brand new going into it at first, maybe from some other type of photography background, might not have that insight.
Yeah.
And not realize just how important it is. It's almost the most important thing. Like mm-hmm. back then we weren't even taking great photos. I mean, we were editing them ourselves, so they couldn't be that great, but we were so easy to work with, and our agents just loved working with us, and we were reliable. So yeah, I think that was the most beneficial thing that I had going into it. You could look at it as also like, okay, I was in a real estate office, so a lot of realtors already knew me. So that probably helped kickstart things a little bit, but that was an office of maybe 20 agents or so that were using us at the time from there. So not as big as you'd think, but probably helped a little bit at the start.
For sure. Okay, then let me shift gears then, still related to you being a realtor. So there's a fairly big news story that just broke. Was it this week, Todd, earlier this week?
Yeah.
Or was it last week?
Yeah. There were some rumblings that it's been, yeah.
Yeah. Rumblings for the past couple
going,
of months.
I mean, it's been going on for quite some time, but yeah, right. I think it's just very recent, Craig.
Yeah. So this court case involving the National Association of Realtors and everything centering around how buyer's agents are paid, the commissions related to that. We've been talking about it at Wow Video Tours, you know, how is this going to affect our business? For those that maybe don't quite understand what this whole court case was about, can you give us a real brief synopsis and then your take on how it might affect us as real estate media companies?
Absolutely. So the synopsis of the court case, I fundamentally didn't understand at the beginning because it didn't seem to me like there was actually anything for these people to sue NAR over, at least from my experience in Texas. I don't know if it's different by state, but basically the lawsuit had to do with the people that brought the case were saying that the National Association of Realtors was basically fixing the commission rates at 6%. and that that was also consequentially inflating home prices because that 3% that was also being paid was going to the buyer side of the transaction was kind of, you know, basically being lumped into the sale price of the home, making the home price more. Mm-hmm. And it never made any sense to me because at least in Texas, and it could be different in other states, but real estate commissions are always negotiable, right. Including on the buyer's side. It's ultimately up to the seller. It always has been up to the seller what they're willing to pay a broker for listing their home and what they're willing to pay a buyer's agent. Because I remember back a few years ago in DFW, there was a time where buyer's agents were only receiving 1 or 2% sometimes because homes were selling so incredibly fast. Sellers were just like, well, we're going to get 40 offers. So I might as well save 2% over here because, you know, we just don't need to spend the full 3%. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, it's always been negotiable. And I fundamentally didn't understand what this was all going on for. So I guess the only like literal change that I was able to find in the settlement is that the commissions won't be displayed on the MLS anymore. And all the headlines are saying, oh, the 6% commission is dead. And I feel like a lot of these headlines are, it almost feels like a PR stunt to me a little bit, trying to just get this idea in the public's head that the buyer's agents aren't worth paying for, or you don't have to pay for them, and pushing the public to start reducing their buyer's agent commissions. That's what it feels like to me, because nothing else has really changed because everything has been negotiable. And then as far as how it's going to affect our business directly, it doesn't seem like it really should affect us much at all, because the listing agent ultimately isn't the one that's going to be affected by this the most. It's going to be the buyer's agents, which is extremely unfortunate too, because the buyer's agents put in so much work. They could put in a month or two of work working with a buyer, showing them tens of homes and writing up all these offers and trying to negotiate deals. And then the buyer could just walk away at the end of it and they're not compensated anything at all. And because of all the news coming out, I think there are going to be some creative alternatives, like buyer's agents are going to start charging by the hour or a flat fee, or people will start going to alternative people to help them, like just to have an attorney write up your contract on the buyer's side. Or you're going to have a lot of these dual agency situations if it's legal in your state, where now the listing agent is going to be asked to also represent the buyer and basically just be a mediator and not really be able to give the full representation to either side that they both deserve. Because real estate transactions are complex. They're emotional. There's so many moving parts to them. Sometimes it goes smoothly, but most of the time it doesn't. And you really need someone that's experienced in doing this every day professionally to guide you through one of the most important financial transactions in your life. Right. So I really hope that it doesn't impact buyer's agents too much, or ultimately the buyer, because now it looks like if sellers aren't going to be willing to pay buyer's agents the commissions that they really deserve, then it's going to come to the buyer themselves to now come up with more cash on top of their down payment and everything else that they need to have ready to buy a house. Now they're going to have to come up with a way to pay their agent to get the representation that they need.
Todd, what's your take on it from our standpoint of real estate media professionals? What effect do you think this is going to have on us?
Yeah, I think the short of it is that it's not going to do anything but potentially help us. You know, as Ryan said, we work for listing agents. I mean, the value's all, the money's always been in being a listing agent. You know, I don't know that any agent gets into it. It's like, I really aspire to be a buyer's agent. Nothing against buyer's agents. It's how you start. You have to show people houses until you build your book of business. But you want to be the person selling something. That's who hires us. And that's who will continue to hire us. As Ryan mentioned, with VA loans, first, FHA loans, you have people who are coming and buying something that they're needing assistance or needing a government program to help get, being their first house or being a house if they're a veteran. And now they have to come up with additional money, cash, that they're going to pay and compensate this buyer's agent. And as a population, we don't have a lot of cash in the bank. I'm not saying you, but I'm generalizing, like, you know, will that first time home buyer have another $3,000, $5,000, $7,000, $12,000 to pay their buyer, to pay their agent to, you know, safeguard them from their biggest purchase of their life, to make sure they get what they want, they are not taken advantage of. You know, as Ryan said, with the dual agency, I mean, you can't really, you know, at least in Ohio, you know, if say I'm listing a house and somebody comes to me and they want to buy it, and I say, okay, great, you know, and they're representing themselves, and like, okay, well, I can help negotiate. Like, I can't help them negotiate. Like, if they come in, and Chris in our office made this point this morning, but if I know that my seller will go to 165, say, for example,
buyer, that's or a seller.
No, well, either, either. And I represent both as a fiduciary. I have a right. Like, I have to disclose that information or I'm not doing my job. There's no way to equally represent both sides of a transaction. There's just not. So you know, I think it's going to shake things up for a little bit. And then every buyer's agent's going to have this contract, and they're going to say, hey, this is how you work with me. We're going to see some creative things come into play. And I think if anything, we will be more valuable at the end of the day, because the buyer's agent is changing. People still need to see houses. Well, how are they going to see that house across town or across the country? Well, it's going to be through technology, through our media. So that's kind of my long on it, but the short is I think it's not going to do anything for us, or it's going to help us a little bit.
Our guest is Ryan Stevens. He's the owner of Real Home Picks in Dallas-Fort Worth, former realtor as well. So we appreciate your insight on this. Todd, during our staff meeting, we talked about two other things about how this could potentially help us. And Ryan, I want to see if you see merit in this as well. We see the possibility of, one, with the potential for fewer buyers out there, as Todd just mentioned, that extra cash they might have to come up with, does that mean that houses are going to sit longer on the market, which means the sellers or the listing agent has to work harder to market those properties? So there's an upside for us in that. So that's possibility number one. Or possibility number two, you see fewer buyers agents, more of them trying to become listing agents, which means there's more competition amongst listing agents to try and win limited inventory to begin with, which means they have to up their game in terms of marketing and media. Do you agree that those are two positive ups for us as real estate marketing professionals?
I would say so. I genuinely have thought about this a lot, and I haven't identified any downsides to this for real estate media agencies. It doesn't seem like anything's really going to affect us negatively. And if anything, it's probably going to be positive. Okay. I totally agree with that.
Awesome. So all of you asking the questions, I've seen it in the Facebook groups, you know, hey, how's this going to affect us? Take a deep breath. I don't think we need to worry about it all that much.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite clients, we had a discussion about this a couple nights ago, and he said he tried to make an analogy that, you know, right now we're in this, we just witnessed a car crash, and everyone is saying what they saw, and it's going to take some time for everyone to calm down and for everyone to calmly look at things and really realize what all this actually means. And it's just odd, because I mean, potentially nothing could really change too, because I mean, at least if you look at it literally, what's actually changing, it's the commission that's displayed on the MLS. And I think word is just getting pumped out there now that, hey, sellers, you don't need to pay these guys. You can cut back on their commissions. You don't have to pay them the 3%. Awesome. Which has always been the case anyway.
Todd, any final thoughts from you on this whole topic?
No, not on this topic. I think Ryan hit the nail on the head. I appreciate your insight on and just your realtor brain on that. And I think that's super important. And one thing, y'all, that he said back when he started is he understood what a realtor needed. And the funny thing was, I didn't point this out at the time, but I want to make sure y'all understand this, because you go and look at your photos and you say, oh, my photos aren't good enough, that's why I'm not growing. No, that's wrong. Ryan says, like, even when we started, he's like, I understood that we had to be reliable. Mm-hmm. I understood that speed was of the essence. And really, our photos weren't, you know, they were acceptable, but they weren't that great because we were literally doing them right after the shoot. And we, you know, we weren't sending them to an editing company so we could turn them very quick. So I think that's very smart of understanding your client. Mm-hmm. Every business in the world does that. Ryan scaled very quickly. So I think that's something, if you're back there analyzing your media, and you're like, why is the phone not ringing? And you're making your photos 1% better. I'm sorry, that is not going to make the phone ring. So understanding your client will make the phone ring. I just wanted to point that out because I thought it was very smart and I didn't want it to go lost because I didn't mention it at the time. But, you know, Ryan, I have to just pick your brain quickly and I don't want to go too long on this, but so do you deliver same day now? Because I know some of our listeners out there like, okay, same day. How do you give us just a quick on like, yes or no, I don't do it. And this is kind of our flow. You don't have to give us our secret sauce. Of course, you can give us as much sauce as you want, but can you talk a little bit about that? Because that's interesting.
Sure. Yeah. So we do deliver same day. We have two different photography products. We have one that is like your traditional HDR. And then the other is like your hand blended editing that we deliver the following day. So our HDR product is what we deliver same day. But I will say the quality difference between the two has shrunk a lot since switching over to eSoft, our current editors. They do a really good job. And really the only main difference you can tell is a little bit of color accuracy and the window views are a lot better in the hand blended product like you would expect. But basically, to dumb it down to the process that we do, we use a specific camera that shoots in-camera HDR, which we tried so many different cameras with that feature, and most of them are horrible. so that we finally found one that works, and that allows us to take a single JPEG image that's already an HDR file. And then we upload from, we give all of our photographers a phone. They need it for a lot of reasons, for 3D tours and flying their drones and then uploading their media right after the shoot to our editor. So eSoft has an amazing portal that our photographers log into, and they click on their photo shoot for the day, upload that file with all the HDR exposures in there. And eSoft has also been great because they literally produced a team for us that works basically the graveyard shift in Vietnam, because we need them working at the same time we are. Whereas in most cases, you know, they're working while we're sleeping. And then they get the photos back to us in around 3 hours or so. And then off to the client. So it took a ton of trial and error, and there's a lot more details than just that. But that's basically how we accomplish it.
All right. Again, our guest this week on the Owner Spotlight Series episode of the Spiro Podcast, Ryan Stevens, owner, along with his wife, Bree, of Real Home Picks in Dallas-Fort Worth. Ryan, we love doing these episodes. Thanks for taking the time to join us. But before we go, I always like to ask our guests, what's the best piece of advice you would give to somebody new getting into real estate media and marketing?
Sure. So don't be a perfectionist at the start. Just get started. Start getting clients. Start reaching out to people. Don't wait. Even if you mess up on your first few shoots, you're going to learn. And if you do mess up, don't let that shut you down. Just keep moving forward. I think that's the best piece of advice I could really give anybody. Just get started, because so many people push things off and just wait and wait and wait until they feel like everything's perfect, and nothing's ever perfect anyway. Right. So just get out there, get going, and start with what you can. Equipment can be important, but you can do this job with very, very minimal and expensive equipment, and don't focus too much on that at the start.
Don't focus on that. You see what he did there, Todd?
Oh, Craig, you and your, yeah.
I had to.
Yeah, it was worth it. It was worth it. I agree. Yeah. But good advice. Yeah. Really good advice. I think we all do that. I find myself doing that sometimes. Like, Todd, why are you still working on this? Just it's done. It's good enough. Like, let's move forward.
Yeah.
So really good advice. Get out there. And the way that your business grows, and this is going to be painful to hear for some of you, the way your business grows is through you screwing up. You fixing mistakes. 100%. That's how we all grow. We screw things up. We learn from it, and then we don't do it again. We fix that, and then we're one tier up, and we keep pushing that way. So, really good advice, Ryan.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
If somebody wanted to pick your brain just on a question they had about the business of real estate media, how can they reach out to you?
So the best way would just be to email me. It'd be ryan@realhomefix.com. And for sure, if you guys have questions, I'm happy to answer anything you have.
And realhomefix.com.
P-I-X.
Yes, just sir. To clarify, we'll have that on the screen for you as well. What's your website? If somebody wanted to check out your website.
Sure. That's just realhomefix.com.
Easy enough. Easy enough.
Yes, sir.
Our guest, Ryan Stevens of Real Home Picks. Ryan, again, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks so much, Ryan. Great advice and exciting to hear about your business.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of Spiro. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. If you found value in this, please make sure if you're watching on YouTube, give that a like and feel free to share it. If you're active in the Facebook groups, feel free to share the podcast with others, especially the content on this court case. Some great information from Ryan this week on that as a former realtor. I really appreciated his perspective on that. We can talk all day as real estate photographers, but it's helpful to have somebody that's been in the industry and kind of knows the inner workings.
Sure.
So feel free to share that. And it's good to be back. We apologize for the week or two delay recording, pushing out a new episode, but it's good to be back. We just love doing this with you guys and helping your business and learning from you as well. If you have a question, if you have an idea for a topic centered around the business of real estate photography, be sure to drop us an email. You can email us at hello@spiro.media. And if you're curious to learn more about the Spiro software platform, again, check out our website. It's just spiro.media. All right. Well, that's going to do it. Make sure you take some time this weekend or this coming up week just to kind of slow down, be thankful for the blessings in your life, and take a breath. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us for the Spiro Podcast, Managing Your Real Estate Photography and Videography Business. This is a production of Spiro and Wow Video Tours. You can find out more about Spiro's real estate media business management software at our website, spiro.media.